working our way through Ephesians chapter 5, so I invite you to turn there with me, Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll pick up the reading today in the middle of, verse 14, which was the last verse that we looked at last week. But this passage that appears to be a song, this short passage in verse 14, a song perhaps, or a call to worship, or something that was used in liturgy of some sort, but a very early saying that was well known in the church. So let us now hear the words of God. Wake up, O sleeper! Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Fill us, O Lord, with your Spirit. Amen. When I was a college student back in Toledo, Ohio, having my first car, which was a 1967 Volkswagen Beetle, very 60s-ish. But I remember, and this, I don't know if this is just the foolishness of youth, but I used to like to see what empty really did mean on the gauge, because I knew that when it hit E, it didn't really mean it was empty. It could still go. And so I would push it a little bit. It was kind of like science. You know, I was wanting to know, well, how far can I let that gauge go down? I remember one time, and I'm telling you the truth on this. I was driving home from the University of Toledo, and I was below empty, and I thought, I think I can get across town on this and make it to the gas station near my house. And so off I went, and I was coming up over a hill. I literally ran out of gas. The car just died. I'm rolling down the hill, rolling. There's a gas station on the right. I was able to roll into the gas station, and it literally died right in front of the pump. Stopped running. I mean, I just literally timed it perfectly. sometimes we use the term, I'm running on fumes, or I feel so empty, or I'm out of gas. Feel drained. In our world, we're constantly on the go. Things to do, people to see, meetings to attend, troubles to deal with, things to endure. Things with job, things with kids, things with friends, things with politics and the issues of the day, the trials and losses in life, the stresses, the troubles in marriage, or troubles with singleness, or troubles with school, or getting ready to start school again, or a general fear of death, or whatever, our lack of sleep. But we often find ourselves running out of gas. Now, certainly physical exhaustion is part of that, but on a deeper level, the experience of being, quote, out of gas or running on fumes, I think also, and maybe in a deeper way, actually expresses a kind of spiritual condition. My soul has run out of gas. My soul feels dried up, lifeless. I feel disconnected with myself. I feel disconnected with God. I feel disconnected with life. Yeah, that's a spiritual issue and a spiritual concern. And I suspect a common place that we hit. So then I see Paul here. I don't know. Sometimes Paul seems really perky. And I want to hear him, and I want to know when he says, be filled with the Spirit. And then that filling of the Spirit being manifest in this singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another, making music in your heart. Isn't that a beautiful poetic expression to have music come out of our souls and out of our mouths into praise and thanksgiving and gratitude, like a fountain that's bursting forth with life. I mean, I told you this once, but once our family was sitting around the table and we were having a discussion on which cartoon character we each thought we were closest to. And so, you know, I think there was a Snoopy and there was some other, and it came to me, and I was I was really stretching on this one. And of course, my Amberly says, "Oh, Dad, you're easy. You're Eeyore." And I always liked Eeyore for some reason. So I don't know about you, but I want to know more about what Paul's talking about. He's calling us to something of a kind of quality of life that is characterized not by empty, by running on empty, but by being filled with the Spirit. So let's try to study this together and think about how we can go deeper into what Paul is actually talking about. So he begins, well, of course, he breaks out with this song, "Wake up, O sleeper." So he's calling us he's kind of shaking us by the shirt collar and saying, "Wake up! Wake up and rise from the dead so that Christ will shine upon you." Obviously, that's a key starting point for the life that he's calling us to. It's a Christ-centered life. It's an awareness of who Christ is and what he has done and what it means that he is the light and what it means that he has crucified and now been risen from the dead and gives new life. So whatever he's talking, however we get to the psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms, it has to do then, right, with Christ shining upon us. He says in verse 15, "So be very careful then how you live." He's also telling us that we need to be mindful and purposeful about this, about how we live. In other words, we can't just let ourselves go and think that we're going to get to this music in our heart thing. There's got to be a purposeful mindedness about how we live and how we walk. That doesn't come, say, naturally, but rather is a discipline that we need to work on. So notice the emphasis, be very careful. I suppose it reminds us of the old adage that, you know, in the end, life is about walking the journey rather than the destination. I would dare say the Bible actually has more to say about walking the journey with wisdom and doing it the right way than it actually talks about the destination itself. So he describes sort of two ways here of walking, two ways of living, two ways of orienting oneself in life. And one is being drunk with wine in contrast with being filled with the Spirit. So there's an interesting contrast that he's making, which is kind of odd when you think about it, between being drunk and being filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's think about, because there's things that absolutely does not mean, right? I mean, there's a big difference. Being filled with the Spirit has to do with, you know, self-control and disciplining one's life, whereas drunkenness is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum of that. So let's talk about two things then, what not to be filled with and what to be filled with. Do not be drunk with wine. And by the way, there's not a, you know, like an exception clause that like bourbon or vodka is okay. Just don't get drunk with wine, right? Don't get drunk with wine. Alcohol is, I suppose, the standard medication for existential despair. It's the cheapest version, the cheapest drug. Well, I suppose not over time, but it's the standard medication for existential despair. We ingest wine, we take it in, and it goes, the fact of it being consumed means it goes into this inner part of our being, into our inner soul, to bring some sense of soothing or numbness, to make us feel somehow different than what we were experiencing before. I'd ask you to think about, for a moment, the very thing that you turn to for pain. Like, what do you, when you are in pain, in psychological pain or spiritual pain, where do you naturally go with that? Where do you naturally turn to that? In some ways, that manifests your idol, right? Because your God, at the end of the day, is that thing that you turn to very naturally when you're in pain or when you're in despair. And so alcohol can become very easily a kind of idol or God. And it controls, right? I think this is Paul's point, is that it actually gains control over you and then guides what comes out of your mouth and reveals the darkness and the despair inside. There's a Latin phrase, in vino veritas, which means literally in wine, truth. Which means that what comes out of the mouth intoxicated is often the truth that lies in the depths of the heart. I may have told you this story before, but when I was interning in a church down in southern Illinois, I had a guy in the church, he and his wife, his name was Ollie, and he was the nicest guy. He was pleasant and always encouraging in church. But he was also really profoundly alcoholic. And I remember his wife calling the church and saying, Ollie's not doing well. And I remember going over, this is what my first sort of experience as in a pastoral way, dealing with this. And he was in his bed, laid out, he's very drunk. And this guy who would be so sweet in church, so nice, so pleasant. Man, I can't say it in church. The kinds of vile darkness that was coming out of his mouth. His despising of life. His hatred of himself. So dark. So disturbing and profane. Paul says this leads to, here's an interesting word, debauchery. You may know what debauchery is. Debauchery is to be corrupted by one's sensuality, or literally to rot or to decay. In other words, this leads to a rotting of the soul when we turn to other things besides God in our time of need. It rots away the soul. It leads us away from a right allegiance or right duty. That's the name, the sense of debauchery. And it's really true of all idols. I mean, let's not just pick on wine here. Money, same way. The desire for success and yearning for power, popularity, comfort, honor. I mean, all of these things become real easy God substitutes. And so, if you're here and you're out of gas, maybe just ask yourself the question, is the reason I'm out of gas because I'm running idle? I'm running on idols. Idols that have left me high and dry. Idols that cannot, in the end, satisfy. Paul says, don't do that. Don't be filled with those things, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a better alternative, in other words. So what is that alternative? He says, but be filled with the Spirit. I was wondering why liquor is referred to as spirit. So I actually did a little research on that this week, and there's actually some disagreement as to why it's called spirit or spirits. But the general consensus is that liquor has to do with altering your spirit in some way. That it, whether we talk about it elevating your spirits or making your spirit depressed or whatever, but it affects your spirit. In other words, it affects the deep insides of you. And again, Paul's talking about getting drunk, right? He's not talking about wine per se. He's talking about getting drunk, becoming under the influence. He says, don't do that, but be filled with the Spirit, which means that the Holy Spirit also, like the booze, can be an alternative that goes to the deepest depths of our lives and the deepest depths of our spirit and soul. But with new life. But with real hope. The Bible says we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're regenerated in the Holy Spirit. We're sealed in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee of the life to come. The Holy Spirit represents Jesus living inside of our hearts because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And it speaks of our union with Him. Passage that Bruce read from Jeremiah is really interesting. He says, you know, my people have exchanged their glory. And that's an interesting phrase. They had glory in me, but they've exchanged their glory. What did they exchange it with? Worthless idols. And then he says, be appalled at this, O heavens. So think about the heavens, think about the cosmos, all the stars of the universe. He's calling on all the stars to respond with revulsion, a kind of cosmic cosmic vomit of the cosmos at the very thought that my people would exchange their glory in me for a worthless idol. And then he describes it as they've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and turned to broken cisterns that cannot hold water or satisfy. Think of a broken cistern, a kind of muddy pit filled with dirty, gross water. They've turned away from the source of living water and have gone to broken cisterns. That makes a person out of gas. Drinking out of a dirty cistern that can't satisfy, that's out of gas. That's running on fumes. But remember that it's also calling us to turn again, to be filled not with that, there's an alternative, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit is life. Forgiveness, new creation, eternal life, harmony with God, true strength within us to face the harsh realities of life. That's the Holy Spirit in us, the fountain of life. And then notice how he talks about there being sort of two manifestations of this, of how it affects what comes out of the mouth. So just like the wine brings the darkness out of the heart, the Holy Spirit that makes us new brings different things that come out of the mouth. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ has always been a singing church. Psalms, we all know what psalms are. We should be singing psalms. Hymns, we know what hymns are. We probably have an example of a hymn in verse 14, at least a short one. Hymns would be more Christian versions of celebrations to Christ or expressing hope in Christ. A spiritual song, that might be a little harder to define, but generally the thought is that a spiritual psalm, a song, was probably something that was more spontaneous, that a person would sing to the church, perhaps. Might be equivalent to when we have special music, maybe. But it was maybe something that was more spontaneous that a person would sing to edify the church. One of the earliest non-biblical resources we have for early Christian worship was from a letter from Pliny the Younger, who witnessed Christians in 112 AD. And he described them as assembling before dawn, and that they would recite a hymn, antiphonally to Christ as God. So when we are open to the Holy Spirit gets into the depths of who we are, goes to the dark places with new life and light. And what comes out of our mouth is praise and hope. Rather than drunken, dark rage, praises to God that He is our Savior, our hope, our Redeemer, our hope of life and of eternal life. And then you also notice that what comes out of the mouth here is a call for thanksgiving. Now, I referenced Eeyore earlier. I remember a scene in Winnie the Pooh where Christopher Robin had stuck a red balloon on Eeyore's rear end in place of his tail that would always fall off. And Eeyore, you know, looks up at the red balloon and he says, "Sure is a cheerful color. I guess I'll have to get used to it." There are cheerful colors in your life, dear friends, to be thankful for. If all you had was the salvation given to you in Christ, you would have plenty to be thankful for. When I was on my sabbatical and Laurel and I were at a marriage retreat place, and we came up with a list of things that we were thankful for in our marriage and in our lives. And we kind of brainstormed on, okay, let's just try to be positive here. Skip the negative. What are we glad about? What are we positive about? And I think we came up with a pretty good list. And it was actually like encouraging for me to say, like, my life's actually pretty good. I mean, but what brought me to shame was also the, I have not expressed proper thanks to God for my life, for the good things He's given to me, for the blessings. I think there's nothing that drains our souls and makes us run on empty more than ingratitude to God. And so, we come with our empty tanks, like the woman at the well, who came with an empty jar that reflected her empty soul. And on that occasion in Samaria, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of living water welling up to eternal life." So, dear friends, anyone running on an empty tank today? come to Christ. Wake up! Let his light shine on you. What are you doing trying to find satisfaction in success and popularity and money or self-medication or what, when the source of living water is offered you? So come to the well. Drink deeply. Oh, that doesn't make problems go away necessarily. That doesn't mean that, you know, you become the Cheshire Cat with a big smile but no body connected to you. The woman at the well still had to go back to reality in that little town and her situation. But filled with the Spirit and filled with a new life in Christ goes with a real hope, a real strength that's not her own, a real assurance of God's complete acceptance of her in the power and strength of grace, of forgiveness, of mercy, of the love of God and of new life. Dear friends, come to the well of the living water. Drink deeply. Drink deeply. Let's pray. Our Lord, as we now come to this table, which is itself a picture of drinking, but a picture of what is the source of our life, we pray that you would use now the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to continue talking to us, continue speaking of our great need for you, that we might come and eat and drink together.